And here we are, folks, back, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It's time for the return of Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Pastor, how have you been?
I've been pretty good, Scott.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had a chance to sit down and talk, so I've been looking forward to this today.
Yeah, I have too. It's been a pretty busy time for me, and just a lot going on. I was doing a lot of substituting in the school at the end of the year. We had a lady that had broke her leg, and so I got to spend some time with young people, and I just love that.
Now, how was it being in the school system?
You know, it's pretty good. I always have loved kids, and I was working in developmental disabilities, special needs, and I love those kids, and they're great, and you can actually learn quite a bit from them. And it was just a little bit of a change of pace, but you know, it's not something I would literally want to do every day all year long. That's not my calling, but it sure is it's a good place to be.
You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because people do have little problems that they face every day. I mean, people have financial problems, people have problems that they just don't want to deal with, emotional problems. But if you go into a place like a nursing home, or you go into a place where people have had to face serious adversity that doesn't get better, but yet they get up every morning and they face it and they deal with it and they lead happy lives. I mean, it always gives me the feeling that you can get through anything.
Yeah, that's true. I get encouragement from my granddaughter, Julia. You know, we had her on the show. She has spina bifida, and she's just a bubbly, bright girl. She's 12 years old now. Matter of fact, some exciting news. The October nationwide race in Columbus, the 5K in Columbus, Julia was chosen to be one of the mile marker girls and represent Children's Hospital at that. But you know, the reason I think a lot of times Julia gets chosen for things like that is because her upbeat attitude and personality. Now, she is getting those to be a teenager soon, and she has a little bit of that teenage attitude sometimes. But she's still just such an upbeat girl, and she's just it's such a blessing. And, you know, you look at her and you look at other kids that can run and play every day, and you know, she has to watch from where she's at, and we take so much for granted, don't we?
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking about today being the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and I think about those men who did die on that day 75 years ago today, and the men who didn't but knew they could have that day. And you know, that's a tremendous thing to face. And when you put all the things that can go wrong in your own life in perspective with that, it certainly changes the perspective.
Absolutely. You know, 90% of the men that hit those beaches first died. And we call them men, but the honest truth, they were men. They definitely were men. But a lot of them were 17 years old. And some probably snuck in and were younger. These were just kids, but they were defending their country, and they stormed those beaches. And I wonder sometimes, you know, of those that made it, like you just said, I wonder. I would imagine they probably carried almost some guilt because of so many of their brothers dying on the beach. And also, I also want to mention that there were a lot of ladies that immediately came onto the beach once it was somewhat a little more secured, and they landed on the beach and were treating the wounded, and it just was not a pretty place to be. But, you know, this is a country worth defending, and we defended not just our country at that time, but we were saving Europe. Europe was really in a mess. And they could have been overrun so easily. So we were not just saving our country, but we're also the other rest of the Western world.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a college student the other night, and not even really thinking that D-Day was right around the corner. But I was just talking to him about World War II. Now, this is a political science major, and it's interesting because I don't think he understood the severity of World War II. I didn't get the impression that he did. And it wasn't about the troops, it wasn't about the leaders, it wasn't about anything other than the fact that the world was in a bad place.
It was in a real bad place. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, think, take yourself back to school a minute, Scott, and say they were talking about the War of 1812. It wouldn't have rang personally with you or me. And so you wouldn't think about the severity of it. I think the difference with people my age and even your age is that you know people, you probably knew people that were still living that were in that war, or maybe your parents or your grandparents, there's still that physical connection. And I don't think also that people understand today, the young people don't, the unbelievable evil that was threatening to really spread to the entire world. And it had to be stopped. And we had to do it. And it was a very important turning point in the entire world. I mean, Germany today is an ally. And Germany was, and it also brings me to the thought of how quickly things can happen. You realize that was just 75 years ago. Now, a young person's going to think, what's he talking about, just 75? But you realize 75 years is not that long ago. And the atrocities that were being, you know, committed were just insane. And you know, some of the, if you ever went through the Holocaust Museum, or if you look at some of the, like Time Life and different places have put out books on some of that stuff, the unbelievable thing that human beings did to others, and they're doing it today in some parts of the world, and I think that as Americans, we need to stand against evil everywhere. There's collateral damage to war. No one should like war. War can be what they call a necessary evil sometimes, to stop something else. But nobody should want to go to war or desire for people to lose their lives. I don't care who they are. And today there's people losing their lives. There's certain evil out there. And I think that we need to realize that we need to put a stop to that.
Well, it was interesting today because I was talking to you earlier on about how I really have not watched hardly any television news in the last month, just watching things that were more upbeat. And today, so much of the news coverage is being devoted to D-Day, and specials are being run, and people who were there are remembering it that are still alive. And I don't think there was a cable news station that didn't cover the ceremony that was held. And I think that's, that, you know, the purpose of news, that's a good way to go. And it always makes me think, there will not be, you will find very rare, if any, stories that are spun out of that. But other stories do get spun a little differently. But that one, it's something that I hope puts World War II and all the people who lost their lives that day in the forefront for people who maybe weren't there or don't remember.
Absolutely. I think, you know, in talking about the media, and you're part of the media, obviously, Scott, you know, the station here, and we're over the air, people can hear us. I think there's a certain responsibility of people in the media that there should be to be accurate, to report things as they are. Of course, you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm going to give you opinion from a biblical perspective. That's to be expected. But when people do direct reporting, they should report the news. And I think it trusts us to have the sense to decipher it, not make it a situation where they feel they have to coax someone in a direction that their ideology would go, wherever their ideology goes. And I think we miss a lot of that today. And that's a lot of the reason why I try to get news where I can get news, and I try to keep up with it and know what's... But it's really getting harder because I don't want to watch it. There's so much stuff that is just... I get angry. I really do. And sometimes I just got to get up and walk out of the room because something that is not politicized just immediately gets politicized. And that's not what they're really there to do. And I think that even in what you and I do here, there's a certain amount of accountability that has to be there. I can tell a big fat lie on here, and there's some people that won't know it's a big fat lie and may trust me with that. Now, that's on me. you know, that's a wrong that I have done to that person because I have told them something false that they're now going to go and believe. And that's where that accountability lies, to tell people the truth and trust them to be smart enough to take whatever the truth is and do whatever they need to do with it, right?
Well, it's interesting because a while back, a couple of years ago, we had a discussion between truth, gossip, and tabloid. And mm-hmm. what are the differences here? Now, they all have similarities in one way or another because they are a way to spread word of something. Now, news and the truth usually are the best. We're trying very hard to get it right. Do we always get it right? No. But we are trying to get it right. And if we get it wrong, we should come back and say we got it wrong. Gossip, I think, sometimes can be right, sometimes can be wrong. But it's...
it has a purpose.
Well, but it's transmitted in a smaller way.
Right.
And then tabloid, just as what you talked about, is I know it's a lie, but I'm going to present it as the truth. Now, that is the biggest sin of all to me.
Oh, I would agree. And I'll be honest with you, it's not just in the television news. It happens within the church also, and within church TV programs and different things, where things that are totally false are presented for a certain to appeal to a certain group of people, or to appeal to a pocketbook, or something of that nature. I think as a pastor, one of the things that I really I try to encourage my other colleagues to do is to, and they and like me also, they encourage me and others to do, is to stay true to the Bible. If you're a pastor and you are, we have been called for years as ministers of the gospel. The gospel is the word of God. So we take the Bible and we teach it as it is. Now, you have an option to believe that or not to believe it. You have an option to believe what's said from the Bible or not. But I don't have an option to take it and spin it to say something different than it says. And there's so much of that going on today that is leads people down a false path. And then they come back and say, well, you know, that's what my pastor said. That's what my church believes. And there's a huge difference between belief and truth. You should teach what you know to be true and what you believe to be true, not teach what you want the outcome to be. You see what I mean? And so that happens in the church, and it also happens in classrooms across America, on news stations, at home. I'll tell you a funny story where I told, you know, something that was not quite so true. I was talking about my granddaughter Julia the other day, and this is a very funny way that I can demonstrate how you tell somebody something to achieve something that isn't the truth. Julia had a, like I said, she's getting to be a teenage year, so she's starting to get some facial, a little bit of acne here and there. And she had this one spot on her chin, and she just wouldn't quit messing with it. And it kept getting bigger and was looking uglier. And before you know it, right in the middle of her chin, she's got this big, ugly spot, you know. So I told her, I said, how can I make her quit doing that? Because it was just, she couldn't leave. I said, Julia, I said, do you want a big, ugly, hairy wart there? And she said, no. I said, don't you know if you keep doing that, that's what's going to happen? She says, no, sir, Poppy. She said, that's not true. There's no such thing. So I get on my phone and I Google big, ugly, hairy wart. And I get this picture, one that comes up with this hair growing out of it. And I blew it up my phone. I said, you really think I'm lying? And I put it in her face. Mm-hmm. And her eyes got big. And she said, oh, no. And guess what? She quit picking that thing. So there was an example of a something that was not true that I got my point across to tell her. And now, granted, it's not good to pick that. And it could get ugly. But she wasn't going to get a big hairy wart from it. But so that's a small example of what people do to manipulate people. But she went away from that totally believing it. And I used it on a boy at school, too, that was doing that. and it worked on him too. So I thought it was funny. Now I told those around me what I did and that it was funny. I didn't want to just live the lie. But you know, the thing is that it's so easy when you have a captive audience. I tried something in church one time. I intentionally took a verse out of the Bible and I misrepresented it. I taught it differently than what it was saying. It's something completely different, but it fit the scenario. And then when I was done, I came back and said, you know, everything I just said I made up, it is not what that says at all. People just looked at me. I said, see how easy that is? I said, here's what that really says, but it is so easy to misrepresent. We have to be careful to be true to what we say, to what we teach. If I'm going to teach you something about the Constitution, I should teach you what it specifically says, even if it's something that maybe I wish it didn't say. And everything else that way, our history, our relationships with other countries, whatever it is, we need to be honest. Honesty, we grew up, disguised when we grew up hearing honesty is the best policy.
And I still think it is, and it's interesting to me because when you have two people, I mean, if you just have two people, you would think that after a certain amount of time, you would tend to believe and side with that person because you knew what they were all about. But it doesn't take much anymore, and it's strange that when somebody drips a little poison or says something, people don't even get the full story of what's going on, and immediately the other person is wrong and I've got to get rid of them, and you don't even know why it happened. You don't even go to them to find out what their reasoning is. I remember a lot of times when I had friends who you would hear stuff, maybe said something bad about you or said something bad about somebody else or were involved in something that maybe you weren't okay with them being involved in. The first thing you would do, it used to be called go to the source. So you'd go to them and you'd ask them about it. And then you'd hear what they had to say and you'd make their own judgment, your own judgment on what they had to say. Now, I don't know if that happens. And I think, I always wonder why the suicide rate is on the increase in 49 states. 49, only one where it stayed the same. Increase in 49 states. And I think people are not being heard. I think people are not getting the chance to tell their side of the story. And I think even if they do, nobody cares.
Yeah, we just hear so much garbage that we just tend to call it all garbage. And I think a huge part of the suicide rate is that we've removed God so far from our society. I know that no matter what depth of despair I ever was in as a young person, even when I wasn't committed to Christ, that I knew that I had hope through him and that things could get better. And that's one hope we've taken off the table in this country in most cases, and kids don't have that. And I see what kids go through. It's real interesting. I watch kids graduate. I have 14 grandchildren now. I just had our last one was just born, and it will be the last one. She was just born on Monday, and her name is Meredith, and she's a beautiful little baby girl. My daughter Kelly had her. That's her sixth. And she has an older sister that's 20 years older, so she and John have their oldest and youngest 20 years apart. But that's our 14th. But you know, I follow the kids and I follow their friends and I see what happens. And I know a lot of the kids at school through different things I do. And I watch what happens after graduation and getting to know a lot of these kids, you know. And I ask them, what are you going to do? And they'll tell me, oh, I'm planning A or B or C, or I want to do this out or the other. And then, unfortunately, I see a great percentage of them—not the majority, but a good percentage of them—that a year or so out of school, they've dropped out of college, they're moved in with a boyfriend or girlfriend, they don't have they got a dead end job, and you know, I can see where the despair would start to set in, because we don't live in a country that everyone wants to lift you up and help you anymore or say, wait a minute, this kid's not doing very well. Let's see what we can do to help them get on their feet and back on the right track. We're so busy, we just move on and go on. And unfortunately, you know, I heard this statistic a couple weeks ago that the number one cause of death between kids between 12 and 19 years of age is suicide. Mm-hmm. The number, I mean, it beats cancer, it beats auto accidents, it beats everything is cancer. And you know, that even includes those that go to war when they're 18. So, you know, we have to wonder, you know, what's going on with this. And I think that a lot of it is just this attitude of anger and hatred and not even hearing people out anymore. It was really odd. Somebody posted something a few weeks ago on a certain subject, and I commented back very kindly with an alternative thought to maybe something that would work. And I had to delete the whole thing because within 5 minutes, I had people calling me names that no one's ever called me that I know of in my life. And I had said something positive, but it wasn't what they agreed with. And, you know, so there was no listening. And I think this anger, this buildup thing within people is getting greater and it's getting worse. And you know, I truly do believe we need to get back to a lot of roots, Scott. Some of the values we used to have. You know, you had just said, we were talking earlier, and you said that you didn't, you had kind of stopped watching the news and some things, and that you like to maybe plug in some old movies or a comedy. I've got to ask, what's wrong with that? Why shouldn't we try doing more of that? Don't stay glued to that stuff that's negative. I'll turn on the news sometimes in the morning when I'm driving because it has a tendency to not be as bad to hear it as when I hear it and see it. But I'm going down the road, and finally, you know, I'll just shut it off because, you know what, okay, I got the basic news. I don't need all the rhetoric with it. And turn on something else, turn on music, turn on something uplifting. But not that.
I just don't know why there's not a tolerance, because there has always been, I mean, it goes to news now, but there's been movies, the entertainment industry, the newspaper industry, the radio industry, certainly now the internet industry, certainly just in your own personal life. But now there is no tolerance of anything. It's strange how people judge everything you do. I can't control everybody else. So I guess if that's the judgment, is that I can't control everybody else, well, no, I can't. So that, I guess that's a judgment that has to be made. But, you know, I don't understand, because this was a conversation I was having with somebody the other day, and I was really surprised about their opinion, because I said, I don't think that there's anything I can do. If we're talking about something that we disagree on, and I present my side, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe what I'm saying, even though I've said it, even though I've given my reasons for it, I don't think I'm going to make you believe it just because it was said. And
so let it go.
Yeah, but I also, the response from this person was, oh, yes, that can happen. And that's the argument against it. That when you put something, I'll tell you what it was about. I just remembered what the conversation was about. It was about that Ku Klux Klan rally, mm-hmm, down in Dayton.
Right.
Where only six people showed up.
Right.
Six people showed up, but thousands of protesters showed up.
Right.
Now, the interesting, you have to give them the permit because that's the law. Even if you disagree with what they have to say. And most people I know disagree with what they have to say.
Right.
But the fact that they have the permit and the fact that they're walking, did they convince anybody in that neighborhood to join them? I don't think so.
Not a soul.
No. And did the protesters change their minds about what they believe? I doubt it.
No.
So what is the point? I mean, let them do it. As long as there's no violence, as long as nobody's getting killed.
Well, you know, you said a minute ago, though, that people need to be able to express themselves. And if they want to express themselves that way, that's fine. But I have to question sometimes our response to that. If they would have said, you know what, we've looked into this thing, there's probably not that many people coming, we're going to have a few extra police on duty, and we're just going to let that go as it is. But I think because of the hype that it got building up to it, you have these massive crowds of protesters. that, what good did it do for them to yell at six people all day long that weren't going to change their minds? And the point is, I think that we blow things up sometimes. Now, I'm not lessening the severity of what these guys were saying, but for crying out loud, there were six of them. How much damage were they going to do? None. And I think that we overreact to that stuff. If you have, I think that, sometimes the media could back off it a little bit. And I think the media, a lot of times, it's almost like those flash mobs. You know, you've heard of those where people get on the phone and make a flash mob by telling everyone to meet a certain place at a certain time. I think sometimes our media causes flash mobs. You know, I'm not sure. But you're right, you can't, you know, as a pastor, I can't twist anybody's arm to believe in Jesus Christ. I can present the message, and that's between him and Christ. And if Christ, you know, appeals to his heart and they accept that, that's fine. But I can't make anybody do anything. I can't make someone believe a word that I'm saying. I want them to give me a break and realize that it's my obligation and my desire to teach what the Bible says. If you don't like it, just walk away from it. And, you know, that's something else in our country that we've gotten a little overboard with, I think. Tolerance is a funny thing. Tolerance basically means that if I'm going to tolerate something you do, Scott, what I'm going to say is, you know what, you have the right to do that, and I'm going to, you know, we're not going to fight over it. You know, I'm not going to accept it. It's not going to be acceptable to me, but I'm not going to fight you over this, and you have the right to do that, and that's tolerance. That's how you tolerate something. But by saying that, by you coming back and saying, no, that's not good enough, Pastor Steve, you've got to agree with what I do and even be willing to participate in it. That's not tolerance. That's you having to have your way. And it kind of goes back to some of these things that we've seen, these huge things about, like the bakers not wanting to bake a cake for somebody that's of a different persuasion or how they feel socially or morally about something. And the point is, why do you want to go to the baker anyway? If there's somebody that I know is got a business, and they're going to take every dime they make from that business and put it towards something evil, in my mind, something I would call evil, like say they're going to support terrorism or maybe they're just doing some things that are pretty cruddy. I'm not going to go there and give them my business. But they have every right to have that business and every right to do what they're doing. And it's kind of gotten to the place in this country, everybody has the same attitude. It's my way or the highway. And at some point, we got to realize, look, there's going to be people that are here. There's going to be people that are here. And that's the way that's going to be. I'm not going to convince you to come over to my side of the table by suing you. You know what I mean? All I'm going to do is dig in deeper and cause a deeper problem. And I think a lot of this is encouraged. You know, something I used to see that really disturbed me. For years, I was in the contracting business as a younger person. And I know the abuses that contractors go through. Now, granted, there are some see you Tuesday, fly by night contractors out there. But there's also those guys that are trying to do a really good job. And there's people that literally will go into a contract expecting to get a huge break or not pay for it. They know going in, they're going to find something to complain about or they're going to make an issue to walk with. That happens, Scott, more than you would know. But there was a station that had call letters on your side that would go out and investigate these guys. And the guys were demonized. I mean, they were wrong before they had a chance to be right. And then they go beat on their door after they just called them everything under the sun and exposed them as these horrible crooks. And then when the guy wouldn't come out and talk to them, it was like, well, see, we told you. Well, I wouldn't go out and talk to him anyway. And the point is, not every time are they wrong? And the problem is, by airing that constantly, you're putting the thought in the consumer's mind that all contractors are a bunch of rip-off con artists and to watch out for them. And the truth of the matter, it was only a very small percentage of that. And this is the problem that we run into. People have to learn to think for themselves, give people the benefit of the doubt, and follow through. you know, follow through with your research on things. Look, if you don't want to believe the Bible, that's fine, but I really beg you to at least look into it and read it and try to figure out why does that pastor believe it. If I don't agree with you on something, that's fine, but I need to understand why do you feel the way you do? Where does that come from? And at least have enough, if you're going to tolerate, try to understand a little bit. Doesn't mean you ever have to agree with a bit of it. You can still walk away thinking, man, they're just dead wrong. But you don't have to beat them into the ground over it.
Well, it's funny because the first thing I think about when I think about the example you gave of contractors where somebody goes to their door, it's interesting to me because that person didn't decide to go to their door because they were sitting in their office one day and said, oh, I'm just going to go to that person's door. Somebody says something.
Right.
Now, sometimes it's true and sometimes it's false and sometimes it's up in the air. But I wish a lot of times, because we never really, hardly ever know where and what the complaint originally was. Because you can go accuse somebody of a lot of things and not everybody's perfect. Not everybody's perfect. Not everybody gets it right 100% of the time. But why did that person make those accusations? Why? And most people are smart enough to figure this out. Once they know who the person is, and I wish more people would look into that when somebody says something negative, like these, if you talk about the TV station that went after the contractor, I wish they'd really look at who is telling them this.
And why.
And why. What relationship do they have? Because I guarantee you'll find one somewhere to that person. I mean, that goes on in marriages. When a marriage breaks up, you do not usually want to go to the ex-wife or the ex-husband to hear something good about that other person. Because
no,
you want
the juice. You want the goods.
They're not going to give you good things because they're in that frame of mind.
Right.
That it's not a pleasant time. So I don't understand that. That's why tell-all books to me have never been interesting, because
what are they telling?
Well, I just figure at some point, if you wrote something, whether it's true or not, if you wrote something negative about somebody who's in the public eye, and at one point in your life you were close enough to be to them that you saw that they did these horrible things, what, you have the choice to talk about it or not. It's your choice to write that book.
I was watching a film in school, and they were showing it. It was about bullying, and it was a little short movie about this girl that suddenly was being accused in school of just being a really bad girl, and everyone's making fun of her, and this girl attempted suicide in this show, and it plays out the whole thing, and in the end, you know, the truth is exposed, which person started the rumor, why they started the rumor, and what was really cool about the show, not only did the girl have her slate cleared, but she came back to the person that started the whole thing and cleared the slate with them and said, I don't want you to go through what I went through because of people knowing what you did. You're my friend. And she walked down the hall with her. Now, that was an excellent, excellent short film to see. But, excuse me, the thing is that it's so easy to start something, it can cause so much damage. And I say all this to say this, and if you're listening out there, and if you've got a teenager that you're exposed to, or a young person, or anyone, remember this and tell them this. If they get in a situation where they're distraught because of a rumor or a story or anything like that, I tell young people, and I always have, the truth will always rise to the surface eventually. It may be hard right now, but the truth typically comes out. Now, there's going to be those people out there that choose to believe negative, and they're just negative people. You shouldn't want to be around them anyway. Because if they refuse to know or hear the truth and accept it, and they want to believe what's bad, I don't want to hang around people like that anyway. But the thing is, the truth eventually always comes out. And also the motive usually comes out. So if you're falsely accused of something, at some point it should come out. If you know, teenagers get so upset, you know, somebody said that I'm I'm not a virgin, and I am, and it's going to get all over school. Well, you know what? The truth's going to come out, what kid said it and why, and just let it go. And I like to, personally, I like to let God defend me. I don't need to defend myself. I let God defend me, and he does a far better job than I ever could. And I have to give a lot of things to him, because you do, you know, even as a pastor, you get a lot of people throwing rocks at you sometimes. Not a lot. I mean, I mean, there's people that will periodically, you know, come out with something, you know, untrue or vicious, or just because they don't want to hear what you have to say, or whatever the case. But, you know, I just let it go. I give it to God. I walk away from it. And I think we need to do a lot more of that.
Well, it's a funny thing is that a lot of times people will say, well, I know you don't agree with what I'm saying. And I always think, well, why would I be having the conversation if I disagreed with what you were saying? You know, I can walk away. I can put down the phone. I can block you on Facebook. I don't have to listen to what you have to say. So either I'm taking the time to listen to what you have to say, or I think maybe what you say has some points that are valid, because there is certainly a way not to pay attention.
Absolutely. Do we sometimes pay attention to things we disagree with just so that we can feed our own anger?
I don't know.
I hope not.
That would be awful to me, because a lot of times I just want to know where people are coming from. Now, that's the only time I ever listen to things that I'm totally in disagreement with, because I do like to know where that comes from, and I don't think that that's a bad question to have answered.
No, it's not a bad question to have answered. Once I figure that out, though, or I know where they're coming from, I'm not going to keep going back and torturing myself. And why do I want to do that? That is just that's just kind of crazy. That's
well, at that point, I just stop having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I've heard the conversation and I now know why that person believes it, and a lot of times I disagree with people totally. I don't tell them that, because to be honest with you, if I just went around all day telling people why I disagree with them, what kind of life is that? That's awful. You know, and there are some things I have zero opinion on. So it's interesting to me that if I listen to what somebody has to say, I can understand why they believe that way. Totally can understand it.
But it doesn't mean you agree with it.
No, but I can totally understand. It doesn't make me angry that they believe that way.
And isn't that an easier way to do it? You know, it's kind of like, you know, I believe that there's redemptive value in everyone. I believe that God can pick up anyone and mold them into something beautiful. And so if I truly believe that, then why in the world would I want to condemn anyone? How can I stand on a pulpit and preach redemption and God loving the world and then go out and just totally, totally dismiss someone permanently? It's kind of like those people, you know, Christians blow me away that'll say, you know, you're praying for the president and they get angry. How could you pray for that? Are you kidding me? Why wouldn't you pray for the president, no matter who he is? If you don't like what someone's doing, pray for them. It's the best way to start liking them again. You ever heard that, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
The best way to start liking someone or caring about someone is take someone that really rubs you the wrong way or has hurt you and start praying for them. And don't pray for them, oh, God, please send a bolt of lightning to strike them. No, pray for them that, you know, whatever God's purpose in their life is, that it be revealed and that they'll get on a path where they need to be, wherever God wants them to be, not what your agenda is, but what God's. And you know, that's the thing. We need to care enough about people. I've said this before on the show, and some people may think that I don't mean it, but I truly do. There's been some evil people in this world. Evil people in this world. And throughout history. I don't want to see anyone condemned to hell. Because that is such a horrible thing. Why would I want that? I believe, you know, people always make jokes about jailhouse, what are they called?
Conversion.
Thank you. Jailhouse conversions. You know, I truly believe some people have to hit rock bottom before they ever turn their life around.
You know, the first story I saw this morning when I woke up, it was flashing, was about these gentlemen who had been wrongly convicted 46 years ago of murder. 46 years they were in prison.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, my goodness. 46 years they're in prison, and now find out they didn't do it. Now, they lived. Now, you have to think about that. They lived in prison.
I don't want to think about it.
Right, but they did. They did. And to me, this is the greatest thing that a human being has, the ability to adjust. Have you ever thought, because I always think about this, and this is a big topic, but I'm going to just say it here in 4 minutes. But, okay, when somebody goes to the doctor, they're not feeling well, and they go in, and the doctor starts to run tests, and they find out they have a terminal diagnosis. Now, this happens to somebody every day of life. Now, they did not know that when they set foot in that doctor's office.
Right.
They knew they were sick, but they didn't know that was going to be the answer. Now, they don't run out and commit suicide.
No.
Okay.
They adjust.
And they adjust. And that, to me, beyond prison, beyond name-calling, beyond the loss of a loved one, in your own mind to have to adjust that the end is coming and there's nothing you can do about it, and there might be pain involved, and you're already not feeling well, that's a tough one to adjust for.
Absolutely.
But they do.
But they do.
But they do. So I look at these men 46 years in prison, and I say, well, what happened was they adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
They adjusted. Now, it's horrible that that happened, and their whole life was spent in there, but now they get, with whatever life they have left, to have, hopefully, a good life.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and hopefully that was a good life.
And hopefully there's a lesson in all of it.
Well, I just hope that that 46 years was a... Maybe they made friends, even if it's in prison. Maybe they made friends.
Maybe they did positive things.
Maybe, like...
I don't know.
You can have jobs in prison that have a positive impact. So I just think the human always has ability to adjust.
Well, sure they do, or they wouldn't survive.
That's right.
In a lot of the situations they're in. We just talked about Julia,
yeah.
My granddaughter. You know, she can't use her legs, but she's adjusted. And there's people that adjust every day.
And the gentleman you've had on a couple times who had the horrific injury.
Oh, he's doing great, by the way.
Yeah, that's
great. Got his new forehead put in.
That's great.
He looks great. He looks better than he did before his accident. I tease him about that. Anyway, it's been a good time together here today.
Yeah. Got about a minute and a half here left. Now, we do want to remind people that Pastor Whitaker's other program, The Pastor Spot, is on every Tuesday night live from 5:10 to 6 p.m. Replays every Wednesday from 3:10 until 4 p.m. And Sunday mornings from 8:10 until 9 p.m. Now, this program that you're listening to right now airs live every Thursday morning from 9:10 to 10 a.m. It's a little later today, but next week we'll be back at our original time. And then it will also repeat on Sunday morning from 9:10 to 10 a.m. and then on Tuesday after Pastor Whitaker's other program from 6:10 to 7 p.m. So we've got about 30 seconds left here, Pastor. Tell them about church.
Sure will. Hey, come and see us at Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222. Our service times are Sunday morning. We have Bible study hour at 9:30. We have regular worship service at 10:30, and we have midweek services too, but you know, get a hold of us. We're at prospectccf.com. Love to have you come and visit us. God bless you guys, and have a great rest of the week and weekend.
Absolutely. Enjoy, and we'll be back next week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM,